But the Mitsubishi Triton, this is the Triple M Sunday Rub. We're at the MCG to continue Sir Doug Nicholls' round. The Blues set to take on the Bombers in front of a big crowd in about 2 hours' time. Nice crowd at the Gabba last night. And once again, we are absolutely stoked to be joined by this man.
Oh, Hodge puts a big bump on Dyson Heppel, who's down and hurt.
Just got enough composure to get on the middle. Oh, big fly, Hodge!
Four-time premiership player now getting the job done in Brisbane, just off the golf course, we believe. Luke Hodge joins us. Good afternoon to you, Luke.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Good. How'd you hit him?
Good at times, bad at others, so still very inconsistent.
I was watching the game last night. Once again, your side got the job done over the Hawks. The boys will talk to you about the footy side, Hodge, but a nice crowd. It looks like the Brisbane people are starting to once again believe in the Brisbane Lions, which is great for footy up north.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I think when you play a brand of footy that they've been able to play consistently this year, they're going to probably come and support us more often. So I think in most times when they want to go, they want to see us in the game or at least playing, as I said, exciting footy. I think the Collingwood game was the only one where we rocked up and they pantsed us from the start. So the rest of the time they've been in matches, we've been playing some moving the ball quite quickly, and it's been going okay.
Hodgy J here. I was concerned for you early as the Hawks, I think, kicked the first five goals.
Me too, mate.
What happened after that? What were they doing, or what? How did you have to counter?
No, I think it's the maturity of the group. We know that in AFL these days, teams are going to get run-ons. Unfortunately, they just had theirs from the start and did it pretty effectively. But we knew we were going to get ours if we sort of stuck at it. So I think they dominated as contested footy and clearances in the first quarter. And us as defenders, we let too many easy goals. I know I gave away a free kick against Impey, which I should have just went back and bodied rather than tried to reach and wrestle. Harris Andrews jumped on the ball. So there was little silly things that we did which gave them goal opportunities and they took them. I think if you look at it, I think we still had six scoring shots. It's just we didn't kick as straight. So once we went in at quarter time, we just said just to calm down, regroup. We've been in this position before against them. I think last time we played them up there, they kicked the first four. So it was just about staying. The boring old stuff you talk about at footy, you just don't have to win it in the second quarter. You just got to stick to it and go from there.
Hodgie, living in the fishbowl of Melbourne, it takes us a little bit of time to realise how good some players are outside this state, but Harris Andrews is certainly one of those who's flying at the moment. And second part of this question, does he take a pen and notepad to every team meeting?
A lot of them do take a pen and notepad. I think we've got a few teachers there, and they said the best thing for their pupils was having things to write down. So a lot of the guys have taken their advice on board and take notes in there, and it is handy. I've started taking a few as well, where you can sort of jot down a few things, and when you're playing next time, you can go back to what you spoke about, and then you obviously when you go into the review, they write it down as well. So they do that, but also Harris Andrews, as you said, he's a young fella. He's in his fifth year now, but the maturity he shows off the field, being vice captain, his professionalism, what he does to just to show the other younger fellas around there the standard you need. But on the footy field, he backs himself. He knows, well, most of the time he knows when to spoil and mark. And he's just a really good player to be around you because his communication is excellent out there as well.
Hodgie, we've spoken about, I suppose ad nauseam down here, about Lachie Neale, about his impact and his experience. But Jared Lyons is the other one. He had 33 possessions yesterday, which is probably his best game. Have those two really added to your midfield and experience?
Yeah, I think it's their composure and how clean they are. I know last year we had a really exciting midfield, but there's a lot of times that we fumbled, and especially up there in the slippery conditions, that as soon as you fumble in AFL football, the ball's gone past you, or you get one or two opposition players tackling you. So, Jared, he's come in. He's got the footy knowledge. People have sort of knocked him in his leg speed and he's spread from the contest, but he's one of the blokes who's in and under getting it out to the Hughie McCluggage and those kind of guys to get the ball going forward.
Hey, Hodgie, how have you seen Dane Zorko's first year as captain?
I think I guess we saw him last year with his last 9 or 10 games when he took over from Beams, and he was very impressive. I guess as a half-forward flanker and then turn mid, they're normally the blokes who will go and want to chase the ball and get touches, where what I've noticed about Zork is his effort base when he doesn't have the ball has been that impressive. I think he's leading 4 or 5 categories in the AFL for tackles, pressures, and then inside 50s as well. So he's doing the work on the inside, but he's also getting rewarded away from the walls off.
We are speaking of Brisbane Lions champ Luke Hodge on the Sunday Rub. Here's Jay Clark.
Hey, Hodge, you're just transgressing a little bit. Dale Thomas has been a massive talking point here down in Melbourne. Got on the source 48 hours before a game a week ago. And we know you had that drink driving incident a couple of years ago. We talk about young players making mistakes, Hodgie. Have you spoken to Daisy at all? Or what advice would you have sort of midway through potentially his last season, because he's obviously feeling probably horrible, and needs to get his things together. What advice would you have for him in that situation?
I don't think you'd need any advice for Daisy. He said he made a mistake, and I'm pretty sure he won't do that again. Once a player's owned up that he made a error in judgment, I think the club have handled it, Carlton have handled it, he's handled it, and I think you sort of leave it at that and move on and trust he won't do it again.
Hodgie, obviously you had the chance to play against the Hawks a couple of times and you've got the job done, and players every week play against their old club, but not necessarily when they've won four premierships and been the lifeblood of a footy club. Do you still look at the Hawks on the fixture and approach it or feel any differently about it, and what's it like post-game?
It's hard not to. It's funny, I've called two games this year and both of them have been Hawthorn games as well. So it's hard when you spend so much time with the coaches, the physios, the doctors, the players. I know a lot of them have moved on, but you still got blokes like Shawnee Burgoyne, Guns, Siegler, Liam Shears, all those blokes. It's hard not to watch them just through interest, but also mark it on the calendar because you message them weekly, and as soon as they beat you, they do give you a little bit. So, it's always something that you put your eye down for. But as I said, now that there's a lot of players that have moved on, you're sort of losing a little bit of contact with those guys.
Sam Mitchell, obviously you haven't been involved in a coaching setup with him when he's gone to West Coast and now back at Hawthorn, but you'd imagine his name will be thrown around related to potentially the Kangaroos. Is he the type of man that can lead a footy club as a coach, do you reckon?
Without a doubt, he'll someday be a head coach. How he thinks about football, how he can explain stuff to players, he's as good as I've played with it, understanding and explaining situations. With that, I guess it's up to Sam and whoever has a job there, but whether it's he wants to stay there and be an assistant under Clarko, we've seen in the past, if you jump into a head coaching role, it's not quite as easy as just doing it straight away. So Sam's a pretty smart person. He'll make the right decision on his behalf, but speaking to him in the past, that he wants to get as much knowledge as he can before he puts his hat into the ring, and just, I guess, it'll be up to him if an offer comes towards him.
What's on for the rest of the day, Luke?
I've got the kids, mate. Shawnee Burgoyne and his wife Amy and kids are coming around for dinner, so I'll go back, look after my crew, and catch up with them.
Will they be all squeezing into the Kia Carnivale that you now drive?
I think the Burgoyne's they've got four kids as well, so I think they hired one to drive back. So I think they're going to the Gold Coast, mate. So,
Good on you, Hodgie. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, guys.